Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Well, we have a caller in the queue. We're going to get to that caller in just a moment. But first, 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. For those of you listening who haven't called in, please join us today by calling. Again, 914-338-0164. Press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And I'm posting the show to our Facebook page and hopefully some other callers will join us. We do appreciate our caller support on our social media sites, and we are on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are found on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Okay, so I'm multitasking here, typing and trying to answer a call. We have a caller from the 956 area code. Hi.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's your name?
My name is Tony.
How do you spell that? Sorry.
T-O-N-I. That's my name.
Oh, Tony.
My real name is Antonia. Yeah.
Tony. I'm sorry. I heard, it's hard to hear, so I didn't hear the N. Didn't know if you said Tovi or Tony. Okay, Tony.
Oh.
I feel like we've talked to you before. Where are you calling from?
Texas. Oh,
okay, Texas. All right. And what brings you to our show?
I would like to know, I'm in a relationship right now, but I would like to know if there's going to be a possible engagement in the near future.
Okay. So let's get your birth date. Okay.
11-13-75.
I wrote down a 4, but you have a 4 in your day. The 3-1 is a 4, but set everything up. 5, 6, 16, and 12. So you're 28, and you're the person that you are concerned about the relationship that you're in.
His name is Michael. His date of birth is 8-08-2066.
8-8. You don't want to add an 8. I mean, as you don't want to add an 8. Did you say 8-2-8?
No, 8-20.
0-8. What?
8-20.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Okay. 8-2-0-60 what?
66. 8-2-0-66.
Okay. Okay. 8-9-10. 20. He's a 32-5. Okay. 6. And how, well, I'm not going to ask too many questions here. But they've got a 13 in there. I'm trying to figure out where I was getting a 4 besides her day, but they've got a 13 in their 7-6. And you're wondering about the, oh, and he has a 4 in his month and day.
That's
why.
She remembers that after her month and day.
3, 4, 5. Yeah. 3. Yes. Well, you can tell her. Tell her.
Yeah. Your master numbers together add up to your month and day.
And his separate days.
1, 1, 1 is a 6, and you're a 1, and he's a 5.
And he's and he's born in 66, which is your master numbers together twice. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I think you two will be together, but there's some obstacles to get there. Number one is he at this point having any trouble with employment.
A job, I knew.
He's what, I'm sorry?
Is he having any trouble with employment?
He's employed.
Is there any problem in his job, or have there been any issues?
Yes. Yeah, there has been. Since he's a manager, he's been having to lay off a lot of people.
Okay.
So that's kind of like been stressing him out a lot, and you know.
Okay, so that's the trouble that Neil was mentioning. And I knew you were going to say job. Job before you said it. Go ahead. Tony, what were you going to say?
No, just that. I know he's been stressing a lot about it because, you know, you never know. I mean, the way things are right now. And I'm in the medical field. And so, Mike, I mean, both of us are essential employees, but I think my work is more essential.
Does his work provide ultimately a product?
He's an operations manager for an oil field company.
Okay,
well, that's
I was seeing coal.
Yeah, sales.
On the way out.
Yeah, he's like in sales. Yeah.
Okay, I was seeing coal, and so I was seeing like coal mines and things like that. So I just want you to let you know I was seeing that. Now, I think you two are going to be, if your question is, are we going to be married? I believe you will be. That's my thought. If your question is, will we be married?
Yeah.
My response is yes.
Good.
I think you will be married to this man. It might not be for 2 years, but that doesn't matter. I think you'll be married. That's my impression. So how old is he? 66, 76, 86,
96. 54.
So there's got to be a divorce somewhere. Who's been divorced?
He just got divorced. His divorce was finalized on the 8th.
Yeah. Okay, so there's his voice divorce was finalized on the 8th. He's born in the 8th month. You have a 28. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're 75 and your year is a 12. He's 66 and his year is a 12.
You're five to his six is an 11, which is your month. Your 7 to 6 is again your day.
Yeah,
13.
The numbers,
so there's
the
a lot of stuff going on.
I think you'll be married. The longest date away would be 2 years, or it could be before then, but that's the window. Has he talked about marriage?
Yeah, we're actually thinking about May, June, July, or August. Actually, August on his birthday.
That's an 8.
Yeah. Well, then, there you go. Why are you asking? What's your question?
Well, I wanted to, we've been talking about marriage, but, I mean, I know he keeps on saying he changes the date, either July or August.
So you're saying he's pushing the date forward a little bit?
Well, we thought it more because of everything that's going on, because, you know what I mean? Well, we have
to,
I know he had to get his divorce finalized, and he was worried about his work. You know, he goes, I just need to get over this, all this stuff, you know.
So
like
there's COVID. The work element back again. Just out of curiosity, you're going to say something, but let me ask a question. Out of curiosity, are you planning to do a small wedding?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just,
so like,
for instance, just family and that's it.
Yeah.
No.
So it's not, I mean, obviously right now with everything going on, you can't have gatherings at all.
No.
So you have to put off the date somewhere in the future.
Yes.
It's safer, I would say, doing it probably in the summer months, because really it's unclear how the social distancing guidelines are going to start being softened as time progresses.
Yeah.
Probably it's going to be better in May, but I wouldn't plan a May wedding. I would do it later. What were you going to say, Neil?
Well, yeah, that's fine. I mean, there's a window. Tony, you're going to get married somewhere between like August or July in 2 years from now, but you'll be married. That's the big window. You're going to get married probably sooner than later. And I think when you were talking and you mentioned his name and I saw coal, and then you said oil, I didn't say coal, I was going to, but just trust me. I thought, okay, this is a lock-in. We're going to, no pun intended, we're going to, this is going to be a marriage. But does he have a child? Is there a son or something?
He has kids, but they're old. I'm the one that has a family.
Do you have a son?
No, I do not have a son.
Does he have a son?
He doesn't have a child.
He doesn't have babies. Like,
there's no child.
He has what?
He has a son, but he's of age.
Well, no.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so I missed something.
No,
it doesn't.
Okay.
I didn't ask his age. I said, does he have a son? Does his son stop being a son at a certain age? I said, does he have a son? So, Tony, get your head on straight. Does he have a son?
Yes.
I didn't ask, does he have a baby?
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I missed
that. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Nurses can make mistakes.
Gosh, just don't make a vital mistake.
But
on one of your patients.
okay, so he has one. Well, wait, you're going to be married to him. So you're calling us as psychics to see if there's any support for the future. Yeah, you're going to be married to him. But there's a clock, you know, this is stupid thought, but here it is. There's somebody, either you or him, has a closet, and it's so stuffed full that when you open it, things will fall.
That's me.
Sure. That's you?
Yes, and he's so mad because we live separate, and he's been wanting to come to live with me, but I don't have stuff for his belongings, so that's the time he hasn't moved in with me, and he gets very angry. He's like, we need to get a larger place. So that's kind of like an issue. Or I believe he probably would have been here with me.
Oh, you see, Tony, we're picking up. So don't be passive aggressive. Don't be passive aggressive and hoard all your stuff. Either clear it out so he can move in with you or get a new, bigger place. I don't know. You know, the psychological mechanisms that we have that obstruct the future can be very subtle. And if I'm picking up that there's a closet that's full and you're saying, oh, yeah, that's me, I'm thinking to myself, does Tony have any motivation to put a stop to this? You may not be aware of that, but if you're a hoarder and you stuff closets full, then that might mean that you have some kind of issue. Maybe it has nothing to do with him, but you may have an issue that you got to clear up to make this process work faster. So if you have an issue with, you know what I mean? I don't know what your issues are. You know what they are. Get rid of them. You know, your mom hit you too hard. Your father didn't say, I love you enough. Move past it. I don't know what the big deal is with you, but there must be some kind of issue you got to let go of.
Yeah. The reason I was calling because I know I know he's stressed and I get it, but he's been a little bit like he's back and forth, you know, with this person. Like he's been nice and he gets upset, and I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Well, listen, you might be irritating him with, and you don't even know it. So get what irritates him about you. Change. Just trust me. Change it. If you want this guy to be your husband and he's irritated about something, change it. And your relationship's going to be smoother for the long run, not the short run.
Yeah.
Okay, Tony.
Yeah. That was amazing. Y'all literally nailed it to the T. I was just hoping that he would literally put a ring on my finger by the end of the year already.
Well, it
I was
sounds
just
like
waiting for him to.
It sounds like you're going to get married. I mean, you don't have a ring yet, but you've talked about marriage between the late spring and summer.
I mean, we could talk about it, but if there's no ring on my finger, I mean, that doesn't.
So you're waiting for a proposal, essentially, and he's dragging his feet a little bit.
Look, you're first of all, don't look at the ring on your finger. Look at your closet. Clear out things. I'm not sure what is giving him some kind of reluctance. I don't think it's serious. I think it's easily resolved. But if you show him that his life with you is going to be really beautiful, and he's not going to have things that irritate him, and you can start to process that now, trust me, he's going to be saying, he'll put a ring on your finger and maybe one through your nose.
And one on your toes. Okay. Rings on her fingers and bells on her toes. Isn't that a nursery rhyme?
Something like that.
Anyway. Okay. All right, Tony. Well, keep in touch with us and let us know how things progress. We really would be interested in hearing. And you can like our page, our radio show page. Do we have other pages? You can follow us or like. We would appreciate the support. And keep in touch.
Yes, I would. Yeah, thank you. I'm definitely going to follow up with you guys once I get that ring on my finger.
Okay, great. Take care.
Thank you. Likewise. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, 302 and then 907. Hi, 302. You're on the air. Are you there, caller? Silence. Okay. Moving
on.
That
was Paul Simon.
No, it was Art Garfunkel.
Oh, yeah.
907. We're having a problem.
Yeah, the first one was Paul. The other one's Art.
This is weird. Yeah.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. Oh.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, guys. It's Julia calling.
Hi,
yes,
Julia.
Calling this morning. Hi.
Yes, Julia, can you hold on just a sec? Because 302 just pressed their 1 button. For some reason, we're having a problem.
No, I'll wait.
So, no. We're going to do you
I
first,
think they
and
were,
then we're going to get back
to
302. No, we'll get back to 302. We're going to do you first because they weren't there when we answered them. So I just want to let them know that we'll be with them after your call.
Okay.
Hi.
Julia.
No,
we're not. I don't think so. Okay, we're ready. What?
So she had birth date of the guy that she spoke about who is famous or something. What's his name again?
Nathan.
Nathan.
Huh.
Okay, 6/18/1971. So you don't have the birth date. I did make a note of it.
6/18/1971. And he's crossed over?
No. He's a famous person who they were connected before, and then now he does not speak with her anymore for some reason. You don't know if he's married or single?
I don't know.
You don't? Well, I think if he's famous, you might be able to find out.
Yeah, I don't believe he is, because I'm sure everyone would know by now. Yeah, I mean, you can keep everything pretty secret, but normally if something like that transpires, like one of the other guys just married and it was all over the advertisement, you know?
Yeah. Is Nathan his real name or no?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I suspect that he's married. But if we wanted us to look at the birth date, which we can do. So So she called off the show and gave me the birth date, and then I added it up. I went upstairs and I felt like something told me I made an error. So I went back downstairs and I saw that I made an error. And then I emailed you and I said, I made an error. There is a strong, because he's a singer. And I said, I said he's a 5 instead of a 6, but there's a strong 5 still going on, which is the vocal chakra in his 6/18, which is a 15 equals 6. Mm-hmm. It happens to also be his master number. But you guys have a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of connections going on together. You become a 9, Julia. Mm-hmm. And that's, you have that number in your year. He has it in his 1971, in his day, 8-1. You have his master number in your day, which is 24. That's a 6. So there's, and your, 14-5. Your months add up to the sum of your month and day. So there is a connection going on. But what, I mean, what happened in the relationship to
well,
was a distance?
He has a kid, and his kid is now probably around 22 or 23, same age as my older son. And when I met him, he was kind of living with the child's mother. So anyway, long story short, I told him that I would not date him unless I knew he was not with that person, you know. So I think from the beginning, it was kind of a, I'm a very trustworthy, and if you're not coming to me right, then I'm not going to be like, you know, two or three different women around the world. Or you know how we mentioned that before. Anyway, long story short, later on, he ended up breaking up with her, and he would call me every day. And I mean, we would talk every other day for years because he traveled so much, not just the United States. They travel all over the world. Anyway, long story short, then he came to my state a couple times where, you know, see me before like a performance or whatever. And I didn't really trust him because I felt like if you're this person and you're like this million-dollar performer, then you put a ticket out there and say, hey, come see me, or there needs to be more visits in order for me to be able to trust you. So I didn't take him serious when he told me he was serious. Mm-hmm. So he could have, you know, eventually ended up, you know, it's been a couple of years now, so he could have married someone and just kept it on the down low. I don't know.
Well, he has, and he has not been married before. If he's married now, he was never married before, like with the mother of his child. He was not married to her, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Have you tried reaching out to him?
Yeah, and that could be a reason why maybe he didn't respond. You know, I actually saw him a couple years ago, maybe about it's probably 3 years ago that I was down there for business. And then I happened to just say, I'm just going to go to the show. And he saw me and immediately had the security come up to me and give me like a one of those necklaces to go back and see them.
Yeah.
And so So I went back there, and not trying to be part of a groupie scene or anything like that, I kind of just made myself known, you know, said hello. And we actually said, let's just take a picture just for kicks, and did that and then left. And so I think it was pretty surprising for him, but I didn't follow up when I was down there because I said,
How close was the relationship between the two of you? I mean, how
pretty close. Pretty close.
You know,
pretty close.
Julia, for a man to say I'm serious, he can be serious and passionate. But that doesn't mean that a man's going to be committed and establish a relationship beyond just being serious. Oh yeah, I'm serious. He's saying that out of passion, attraction, which might include.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's what I felt in my spirit. That's what I felt. So that's why I kept kind of a wall up all that time.
You didn't think he was would make a commitment to you, and so you didn't want to get too close.
Yeah.
Listen, he I'll tell you the bare facts. He's a player who wants relationships.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, he's a player who wants relationships, but is not mature enough to establish a reasonably stable intelligent, committed relationship. So what you get is this flavor without getting the real thing. And I would move on.
Exactly.
I would move on.
And that's why I did. I mean, I already did years ago, but I was just curious.
Yeah, because you're single now and thinking about, you know, what the people from your past, which is common. I think people do that when they're seeking a relationship and you want to be in a relationship.
Yeah, and anything else that you guys might see around that? I mean, Kristen and I just picked that out just because, just like she said, she's, you know, I'm just wondering now.
I'm going to backtrack on saying he's married. I don't think he's married. I think he has relationships.
Yeah.
He probably has relationships with women, but not, I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I agree with
what
you're saying. I'm backtracking on that.
You know, if it sounds like we're all on the same page, I would move on. I wouldn't sit there trying to entertain myself with the variations on his commitment, non-commitment, involvement. Are we soulmates? You can be a soulmate with somebody. You can have strong connections. You can feel passionate. But if you're looking for a stable, committed, concrete relationship, you're not going to have it with him, and you're going to be feeling destitute. So to relax your mysteries, yeah, there's a connection. Yeah, there's all that. Yeah, maybe if he was a different human being, more mature in this lifetime, okay, but he isn't. If you're looking for somebody, a man that's committed, you're going to feel it. He's going to apply it to the relationship, and there's no question. You don't sit there questioning a committed relationship. That's why it's committed. So, you know, your bold step would be, all right, I've got to move on, and if I'm looking for someone, maybe you ask us as psychics, is there anyone in my future? In letting go of him, do I have other human beings that I might encounter? Or am I all dried up?
Yes.
No, you're not all dried up.
I would like to know that. Yes, that would be good.
Okay. Well, now, part one, can a woman have exhausted all of her candidates for marriage in a lifetime and a psychic can tell that person that? Yes, that is not your case. You're not at the end of your rope, psychically speaking, not logically, but psychically. So in your lifetime, you have brought yourself back to the planet. There are several men that might become serious soulmates, serious, not just soulmates, but serious committed soulmates. There are several men. They sort of revolve around your orbit. And at some point, one's going to connect to you. So you're probably going to be connected to somebody soon. I don't know who that is because there's kind of like three or four men, mysterious figures floating around your orbit. And I don't know which one is ultimately going to have the strongest energy field for you because they might be somewhat dispersed, or maybe they have a more higher energy with somebody else. So I'm not sure which one of these three or four it is.
But three is her master number. And four is her her day, in her day.
But you will. How old are you?
She's 51.
I'd be 50.
51. Going to be 51, August. I guess.
So at 51, at the age of 51.
Soon to be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because it's the 17th.
In that year, in one of those 12 months, you'll probably have a relationship.
You know what's weird too, Julia, is that today's the 17th. So you're going to be in your when you turn 51, it's your 17th cycle of your master number. But you've got
a lot of stuff
to clear. So it's kind of strange that you're calling on the 17th and we're talking about relationship and happening at the time of that cycle, that cyclical change.
Uh-huh.
But you've got a lot of stuff too, I think, to clear out of your life before a relationship comes in, because there's a lot of drama going on around you with, you know, the people that you are harassing you and that type of thing. So that's going to have to be somewhat resolved before a relationship comes in, I think, even at the age of 51.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
you got to get that cleared out first.
Probably, Julia, what you would require would be a psychic clearance. Your psyche is polluted with a lot of past life debris.
And she's got a broken six
and
in
you
her
need
day.
To have a That's... mind clearance. And then after that, you'll feel better inside.
And the thing is, you have a broken six, which is the you know, the mind, the sixth chakra. But it's realized in your year, and there's a six there, so you can clear this out. This can be resolved. I mean, it's broken, but it's solid in the year, so that's a really good sign.
And the funny thing that you said about, you know, like the stalkers and the people harassing and doing all that, it's going to manifest how it's supposed to manifest. And ultimately, any time that this has transpired, it has never failed that they end up getting locked up. So I'm not too worried about it. I just don't want it to interfere with my path. But I am a firm believer that when you do wrong and you do things to people just because you want to stalk them and bother them, it's going to manifest to where you're going to end up in jail, you know?
Yeah, I mean, karma, I mean, it's the law of karma. Obviously, your actions are going to come back to, you know, what it...
Yeah.
You know, I don't
usually... So any person that's trying to exhaust me and they think, oh, she has too much energy and she's this and she's that, they're going to end up in jail. So I'm concrete on that manifesting.
Yeah.
I was in jail for a while.
No,
but it was on a board of another.
Sometimes people... you're looking, it's so funny. I look up and I'm this hopeful face waiting for me to win for a responsive laughter from me.
No, I was told to go to jail and I was in jail for a while.
He's like, he looks like a puppy.
But you know, but after that, I own Park Avenue. So
no, the thing
gets better.
The thing is, sometimes, Julia, I mean, hopefully, you know, people that are doing illegal things are going to pay for them in the lifetime that they're in. Sometimes people get the karma's delayed, so they're able to conduct their lives in such a way where they create a lot of karma and don't have consequences in that lifetime, but then they end up paying in subsequent lifetimes. So,
you know, I don't usually say this because it'll sound like fairies are telling me what to tell people, but you should light a candle, a big white candle,
mm-hmm.
and say a
mm-hmm.
prayer.
Mm-hmm.
that you want clearance mm-hmm. from this energy and invite angels and guides in. And that might clear you to the next chapter where maybe you can find this individual and have a normalized but vibrantly appreciative and fulfilling life with a human being. That's what I would suggest to you.
Oh. Okay, I will certainly do it. A good day to do it too on Holy Friday.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's Easter Friday. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much, unless there's anything else that popped up that you would like to mention.
No, we've got to move on to the next caller, the 302, because they've been waiting. But we'll talk to you again, Julia,
and
good luck. Light that
candle. You too. Speak soon.
Okay, you too. Bye. Okay, hi, 302.
Hello.
Hi, we couldn't hear you before. Sorry.
Well, what happened was I dialed just to listen to the show, but then somehow you connected with me, and I was in another room when you connected. So,
you couldn't
anyways,
pick up.
Yeah, this is Gloria.
Right. Oh, hey, Gloria, hi.
Hi, hi, Neil.
Hi, Gloria.
So my question was... why are people born autistic? And what is the spiritual lesson in that?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, Gloria, because I was thinking about our surroundings here, and there are several autistic children that live near us. And children that have other disabilities. And I was thinking about how they're in this tribal community of a neighborhood. And I was just thinking about that, like, yesterday or the day before. So it's interesting that you're asking that question, because I was pondering it myself. You know, why have they joined together here in this neighborhood? Obviously, it's like karma.
Let me give you my explanation, and Kristen, give you hers. When a child is autistic, you're not just dealing with a child, you're dealing with the parents. So there's an arrangement of energy going on that it's the parents' responsibility to take care of the special needs child, and for sure that's a big burden. And lovingly so, maybe, but it's a burden. So it's an arrangement of energy. Now that becomes a karmic pact, if you will, maybe. Typically between three people, mother, father, and child.
Well, then, the other children in the family.
And the other
too.
Children, yeah. It becomes an extended tribal situation. So what it results from was a past life union that was totally disruptive, and in such a way that the energy of that particular past life was not resolved, and it was obnoxious. It was annoying. There was a sense of responsibility. So in one respect, it's a two-way street. Child that's autistic was causing a lot of problems. The parents of that child in the past life were very neglectful. And so it comes from a deep arrangement of a kind of a sour relationship dynamic that's now come back into play. But the beauty of it is that now the child is going to be obviously ideally taken care of, because they have these loving parents that can handle it, and the parents' burden of karma is released by this extraordinary care upon the child. But it comes from a crisis, and so it doesn't just happen here. Its storyline goes back in time.
It's funny that you say the parent-child connection and then the past life, because I feel that, my grandson was diagnosed with low-spectrum autism disorder, and he's highly functioning, but he still has he still has a slight learning disability. But anyways, he and I have a very strong bond, but he and his mother clash sometimes, and I often feel that because she's in her head a lot, you know, she's a single mother, she's, you know, always worried about making money, this, that, and the other, and I don't think that she really pays attention to the cues, his cues, his emotional needs, and I think that she does not like anyone, like, pointing that out to her. Whether you be gently or not, like, she doesn't want anyone telling her anything. So,
well, before you started talking, I was going to add to what Neil said, Gloria, and I was going to say the extension of karma. Neil is mentioning that there's a triad between the parents and the child, and I was saying, you know, briefly while he was talking, that of course that involves oftentimes other children in the family, but. Like I said, before you started talking, and I had no idea you were talking about your grandson, I was going to say there is then an extension of karma that goes into the family unit, like grandparents, cousins, aunts and uncles, and then, you know, of course, the area in which the family lives, the neighborhood, the city, that karma extends to those around, you know, that live in that community. So I didn't even know that you were talking about your grandson. Obviously, what's your grandson's birthday? Do you have the birth dates of the
yes,
and yours? What's your birth date again? I know you've given
mine is 2/10/69.
Okay,
and my grandson is 3/14/14.
So his month is the sum of your day and month. 3, 4, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 6. He is a 6, but he's got a problem, you know, in the 6th chakra with autism. Okay, so, and you are
22.
And so what is, do you know the mother's birth date?
Yes, 9/17/90.
She's 9/17/1990. Okay. You know, it sounds like I mean, not, you know, just because an autistic family is born, or a child is born into a family, does not mean that the parents are going to be equipped to take care of that child. So ideally, of course, the karma is going to be resolved by the parents being loving and being able to meet the child's needs. But it sounds like there's a clash, like, as you said, between the child
and
the adult.
Is the mother your daughter?
Yes, she's my daughter.
Your daughter?
So what's happened?
She's my daughter. She can be very loving sometimes, but she can also be really mean sometimes. Like, I don't mean physically. I mean, like, she can belittle him, or she says, like, little things that hurt his feelings, and I don't like that. And I point it out sometimes, but sometimes I don't.
Okay, Gloria, so what's happened? This is a trained result. Your daughter clashes somewhat also with you, but you're the more mature individual, so you have some karma with your daughter in terms of the clash, but you, being the advanced individual, you're making up for your daughter's errors by bringing in your grandson into it and becoming the quote, loving mother, the real thoroughly loving mother to your grandson. So it's a trained result, you clashing with your daughter, but not clashing with the grandson.
Right.
Daughter clashing with both. So your daughter has a lot. Your daughter has a lot of work to work out. You're ahead of your daughter in karma. You have less karma.
And that will all be evaluated after, you know, of course, at the end of her lifetime. You know, how she handled the relationship, what points she gained in terms of helping her son, what points are against her in terms of how she failed to meet demands.
Right. In your evaluation, Gloria, if you're boldly looking at your life, you'd really have to thoroughly examine your daughter's father, your husband, and what mistakes you made with him during the upbringing of your daughter. You'd have to boldly look at that and you know, figure that one out, because there's some problem in there.
You know, the daughter, is she, did I add this up right? Did you get 36.9?
Who?
The daughter. 9/17/1990.
I got 34.7.
What? 9/10/17/27+9. 9/17/1990. No, she's a 36.9.
90? I thought she said 70.
90, right?
Oh.
Yes, 90.
Yeah, so
it's my mistake.
36.9. So it doesn't really matter. It's because we haven't even really talked about the birthday, but she's 29 years old right now.
36.9.
Yes.
She's 29 years old, so she's 7 years away. I mean, she's still in karma.
That's Gloria's first and last.
Yeah.
Did you have trouble with your husband at any point? I don't want to throw.
Yeah, 29.
No, that's okay. No, her biological father is not in her life at all.
Oh,
Her, I've mentioned before, the stepfather, my partner now, my husband now, she clashed with him when she was younger, but now she gets along with him really well. Like, they're buddies, you know?
Yeah, but she clashed with him because she had unresolved issues with her biological father.
Right.
You had issues with the biological father. So that's where your karma got all mixed into the batter.
Okay.
Okay.
What's going on with the father of this child? Is your daughter with the father? Are they not together?
Oh, the father of the my grandson's father?
Yes.
Yes, they're not together, but she's currently with someone new who seems to be a really good father figure for my grandson. Like, ever since he's coming into my daughter's life, my grandson has bloomed. He's come out of the shell. Yeah.
Okay, so the male figures, see, things are getting wrapped up in karma.
Right, it's interesting because the biological father of your daughter is not involved in her life, right? And then the stepfather.
Not very much, no. Mm-hmm.
Stepfather is, there was clashes when they're in her youth, but now they're getting along. This other man has come into your grandson's life. That's helped your grandson, so it's kind of a mirrored. I mean, it's slightly different circumstances, but there's a similarity in the experience of your daughter and her son.
in terms
right.
of the male
you
figure
know,
in their life.
In numerology, Gloria, you can have variations of interpretations. If you look at the sun, 14 plus 3, let's do 14 plus 3, that's 17. That's the day the mother was born, on the day.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. Wow.
It's an 8, but it's also a 17.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And
you can't, when you're looking at numerology, you have to kind of know when to apply certain variations and when not to.
Sometimes you can't. But you know what's interesting, too? The sun's year, it becomes, all your master numbers together become a 7. The year, sun's year, or grandson, I should say, is a 7, 4, 5, 6, 7, which is the sum of
3, 14, 2014.
4, 5, 6, 7. His year is the sum of all three master numbers together.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny when you keep, Kristen, you keep repeating sun. Well, it's funny because my grandson every once in a while will say, "Do you remember you're my mommy?" And I said, "No, I'm your grandmother." I said, "Your mommy." Mm-hmm. And then I'll say, and he says, "No, do you remember you were my mommy?" And that's really like, I don't play into it,
weird.
But I just, like, in my mind, I'm just thinking, is he remembering a past life?
You've asked about this grandson before. Is he the one who sees
a man in my house?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now I'm remembering.
Yeah.
So he's got some psychic, and it's...
What's his first name?
I'd rather not say, but it starts with a C.
That's okay.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, it's interesting because now I'm remembering that he sees this, and he's probably connected to a past life, probably you were his mother in a past life. And, you know, there's some kind of memory that he has about that, you know?
Yeah, well, that really, like, everything you guys have said has really opened, like explains things a lot better, like with the numbers and with the past lives, you know, the dynamics. And that explains a lot, that, like, that really helps me. Process.
Good. That's great. And we hope that everything, you know, that things go well and that the relationship with the mother improves. You know, it's challenging having a child it's challenging having a child at all, much less a child that has special needs.
And you know, she came into this world very demanding. Like when she was born, she did not want to be in the room, the incubation room with all the other babies. She cried for hours until the nurse said, "Can I just bring your daughter to you?" Because she is waking up all the babies. She won't let them sleep. So she brought her to me, and my daughter stopped crying instantly.
Oh, wow.
And so she's just always, she's always been very demanding, very like everything has to be her way or the highway. So it's been kind of difficult.
With your grandson, when he reaches 15,
mm-hmm.
I'll make a prediction. There's going to be something to do with art. And so you might want to see, what is he? How old is he now? 6? He's
6.
Going through a change right now. So he's going through a change right now. Is he more, does he like art, autistic? Does he like art?
He loves it. He loves it.
Yeah.
Because I'm artistic, so I like do things with him.
Then teach him about how symbols appear in drawings and how he can draw things in different ways that mean the same thing.
Can you give me an example?
Well, you say, draw a picture of a strong man, and then he draws a picture of a strong man. You go, what else is strong in life? And he puts a building. He puts a bulldozer.
Right.
With autistic kids, you want their minds to expand in such a way that they're preoccupied because they can be very demanding. So,
right.
You want them to understand that their minds are a playground of fun and ideas.
But aren't autistic children often special, good in one special area?
Yeah.
I mean, they can be very specialized in a certain...
But
he's
very
big imagination. Like, he thrives with his imagination.
Yeah, I know. So look up a book on art symbolism for children.
Okay.
And then start to incorporate that in your union with him when you're drawing. And give him a little bit of a reward when you like his drawing. Let him have a reward like, you know, what's your favorite candy? Let's draw a picture. And if we do this right, we're going to go and get a candy bar. Something like that.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, Gloria. Well, I'm glad this helps. And have a good weekend. Take care.
Thank you. You guys too. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So we are, we do have a little bit of time to talk.
We do.
Yeah, about 7 minutes.
Well, you know, again, every way you look, it's all about the COVID-19 and everybody's talking about it and this and the other. But what's come out in journalism in many regards is this return of nature and how people are, oh, I see the sky now. I see the mountains. Oh, I hear the birds. Oh, there's more bears in Yosemite.
Yeah, but I've been reading about that, which is great. I mean, that's the one good thing about this.
This is the day of the animals.
Love that.
I believe that this was an attack upon humanity, human beings, that enough is enough. Enough is enough. And, I mean, this came from a bat in a wildlife.
Well, now, did you see, I mean, that now Trump's saying it came from a Chinese lab. And
well, Trump came from,
I know, he's
Trump came
idiot,
from
but,
something underground.
But,
anyway,
I mean, there's
so,
all kinds of, you know.
I don't
anyway,
care.
There's
Trump
all,
can say whatever
yeah, I know.
He wants.
I'm not validating
much of Trump.
No, I'm not validating what he's saying, but
yeah.
I'm just asking if you've seen that.
I would rather not see it. So, but in terms of this originating from our animal companions and the way that we've abused the environment. And now we're talking about how much we appreciate animals and they're all over the place and they've taken over. There's even a book out about what if human beings vanished from the planet, how animals would take over and nature would take over and there'd be no trace of mankind anywhere. It's a book that's out that was written quite some time ago. But this is the essence of a wake-up call. Forget about the virus. Forget about that. What we've got to pay attention to is what we're doing to our planet and climate control and how we treat our animals and how we don't care about whether they're going to become extinct. And Trump himself wanting to eliminate the Endangered Species Act and doesn't care about even anything as potentially, quote, insignificant as a toad or a frog or a bumblebee. We have to reevaluate what it means to take care of our planet and to have a deep appreciation, love, and respect for our fellow creatures. Or we're going to get, once again, attacked.
Well, I think, when this all passes and people are back doing their normal routine of life, that unfortunately, you know, people are going to be vacationing again. And a lot of the spots, I mean, not only are animals like roaming through towns that are normally populated, I've seen pictures in various countries of this happening, but tourist spots are also having, you know, a great increase in the number of animals that are populating the areas that would in current times, if things were normal, be occupied by human beings, and people are going to start traveling again. And unfortunately, animals are going to be forced out of, you know.
It serves us right, to tell you the truth. We're shut in now, and animals are roaming free, whereas animals have been shut in and have had to hide. And now they're out. It's karma. We've experienced as a human species karma, and we've got to wake up to this dire message that we need to take care of our planet, we need to take care of our animals, our fellow living creatures, and have a better consciousness about it, or we're susceptible to elimination, extinction ourselves. And it's a warning. I believe it's a deep warning. And I think it's not to minimize the tragedy of human death or the tragedy of what's happening to everybody. We're not minimizing that. We're saying that if we have to dig for a reason and to wake up to the possibility that there's a better way to coexist on this planet, then I think this is the calling that has apparently risen to give us a good warning. Maybe in a contradiction, a healthy warning, but this is a warning to us, and we better listen and have a different kind of consciousness.
I really hope that happens. I mean, I'm unfortunately not terribly hopeful that, you know, the average human being is going to be really thinking about these issues in relation to what's happening. You know, such a large majority of the population is really overly concerned with human welfare, and they don't even give a second thought about animal welfare.
There's not going to be any great world union, and we're not going to hit the great world consciousness. I mean, that would be nice to think, but there's always going to be two sides, and there's always going to be a darker side, if you want to put it that way. But it doesn't matter. Those of us who are aware can keep our wits about us, contribute to wildlife organizations, contribute to organizations that are fighting to save the planet, fighting to save animal lives, and appreciate the fact that we're all in this together. And that we've got to form some kind of pact. It's like we finally come as, after World War II, we finally signed the agreement that there is now going to be world peace. And, you know,
well,
good luck.
Exactly.
But we've got to make this issue and this experience count for something. Not just, we can go outside again. We get to go to the beach. Oh, great. Here's a volleyball. It's got to be more than that. It's just not about going back to the restaurant. It's about going back into the world, having risen, resurrecting
with
ourselves into our new consciousness.
Right. Okay. So hopefully, I mean, that's something for people to ponder over the weekend. So we are back on the air Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, and we hope. Thanks. Bye-bye.